Welcome to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg, and today we're going to be discussing a topic that is painful for a lot of people to go through, but it's one that I think is important to discuss and important to embrace and learn how to deal with. And that is when a child wanders, when a child leaves a religion or a family and sort of strays from the things that they've been taught. Robert Millett is the author behind a book called When a Child Wanders, and he's joining us today. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Jennifer. Nice to be with you.
Why did you write this book, and how did you come up with the idea for it?
Well, I'll be completely honest with you. I wrote this book because my wife and I had a wandering son at the time. And I was looking for kind of theological comfort. In other words, I knew where to go for comfort. I could go to friends who would try to comfort me. I could go to religious leaders who would try to comfort me. And they did. I don't mean to downplay that. But I think I was looking for some kind of doctrinal or theological support for that comfort. That is, they say men and women are prone to say comforting, wonderful things, but is that comfort substantiable? Is it something I can find in Scripture? So I began on this because I think I wanted my wife and me, first of all, to understand why we could have hope. And then if it helped other people, great.
Your background is heavily in religion. In fact, former dean of religion at Brigham Young University.
Right.
Do you think did you find comfort in that, going back and looking at the theological background of it?
Well, I did. In fact, there are many, many things we could talk about, but I'll just say this. The parable of the prodigal son alone, when viewed not only doctrinally, theologically, but when viewed in historical context, that is, the world that Jesus gave that parable in, that is one of the most comforting and lifting pieces of scriptural literature anywhere. And it's because it says to parents who are in deep pain over a wandering child, you never quite know when that son or daughter will, as in the parable of the prodigal son, come to himself. Or come to herself. I mean, the other thing Jesus held out constantly was reassurance that, you know, be patient. Be patient with this person. Be more loving. Be concerned with people than with how it looks, than with appearances. And so it was comforting to me and to my wife, very much so. It's been heartwarming to know how many other people for whom the book was really comforting.
It can be a very shameful thing for parents to go through, and they can be questioning themselves as parents.
Oh, you live in a constant barrage of what could we have done differently? Oh, I wonder if we had – maybe there was a certain point at which my wife and I finally said to each other, we can't live like this. We tried really hard. We prayed with our children. We took our children to church. We read Scripture with our children. We went to the ball games. We went to the concerts. We did everything with them that we're supposed to do, we think, but clearly it didn't take here. And so I believe we took comfort from not only the New Testament, but you have Old Testament passages such as train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that may be that the child is old before he turns around or she turns around, but it's a hopeful thing of if you train them properly, trust in the Lord that one day the things you've taught them will begin to register in their mind and in their heart.
What do you do when life just doesn't go as you want it to go? All of us have hopes and dreams and plans for our children and our lives going forward, but when things kind of steer in a different path, that can be really hard to cope with.
Well, you know, it seemed to me that as I was starting the book, it occurred to me that no mother or father, when they're bouncing that one-year-old on their lap, believes that that child will do anything other than grow up to be an active, practicing Christian, believer in the faith, follower of Christ, lover of God, obedient child. Nobody tries to sit and imagine that their child's going to be a wayward one. But it happens. It happens. Unfortunately, it happens more than you'd like. And the one thing that we found we just had to do more than any single thing was love them. Now, what does that mean? It didn't mean we had to approve of the lifestyle. It didn't mean that we had to agree on the choices they had made. But it did mean for us that we had to love them enough to keep the channel of communication open, even when they knew we had disagreements with them, meaning the home had to be a place they felt like they could come back. When you think of the parable of the prodigal son, the very first thought that boy has as he came to himself is, I will pick myself up and I will go back to my father. There was a waiting father. That parable is so fascinating to me because look at your key characters. There's the prodigal son. Now, let's put it this way. This is the bad boy. Then there's the older brother, who's the good boy with the bad heart. And then there's the waiting father. And I would suggest that at one time or another in our lives, we're going to play each of those roles. There are times when we're going to be the prodigal. There are times when we're going to be the snotty, obnoxious, self-righteous brother who thinks he's got it together. And there are times, unfortunately, we're going to be the waiting mother or the waiting father. And so it seemed to me that what my wife and I had to do, and she agreed, that we needed to make our place, our home, a place where they'd always feel welcome. It had to be a place where they felt they could always come no matter what. And so we have tried to keep the lines of communication open. We've tried to socialize together with them. We've tried to have regular family things to which they were invited. And we've seen some miracles. We've seen some miracles. And so I think you hope on, you pray on, and you do everything in your power to, A, allow them to have their moral agency, because that choice is a very critical thing to God, but also to let them know there's always a place to come back to.
And what message would you have for parents in this situation from someone who's been there?
Let me tell you of a particular experience I had. One time, my wife and I had just been struggling emotionally with this particular child that had wandered, and we hadn't heard from this child for 5 months. We didn't know whether he was dead or alive or in a gutter somewhere or in a river somewhere. No communication for 5 months. That's a long time.
That sounds like torture.
That's a long time, and it was a torturous 5 months. And we had pleaded with God. We had prayed. We had prayed. We had pleaded. We had fasted. We'd done everything we knew how to do. And I remember late one night, we were just emotionally exhausted. She had gone to bed, and I stayed up, and I wanted to pray some more. So I began praying and pleading with God, and I made the mistake, I'll put that in quotation marks, I made the mistake of waiting to listen, meaning I didn't say anything. And the impression that weighed upon me that seemed to be coming from God was this: I need you to back off. I need you to back off. I'm working on this. So what I think that's called faith. Faith is trust in a higher power.
Yeah.
In this case, that God is working on things and wants all the same things you want. And he's working on it in his own way and in his own time. And faith is having a desire to trust not only in him, but trust in his timetable, whatever that may be. And so I think, number one, you continue to love him. Number two, hope on. Hope on. You never give up. We only fail when we give up.
That's a beautiful message. Thank you so much to Robert Millett. The book, When a Child Wanders. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or anything you'd like to share with us, you can send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org. This episode of Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.